anything I want, and I was willing to really give it a shot. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it 110%. So I was really just like soaking up everything, doing my vision boards, looking at them every night, like doing everything they said, you know, picturing myself actually having it already. And yeah, 1 month later, here we are. Literally everything from my vision board came true. Good morning.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good whatever, and welcome to the very first podcast episode of
Unbreakable.
We are insanely grateful for you for investing your time in the most important thing, your mental health. And what we're gonna do today is we're gonna A, talk about our brand new podcast, and B, share our stories, our ways, how we became unbreakable.
Exactly, and so that you can become unbreakable as well.
And I would say, because I'm too comfortable, I'm gonna start interviewing you. I'm gonna ask you questions, and I would like to know when this whole thing started for you, of like reading about mental health, starting with like personal development. I mean, you're pretty young. Me too. But yeah, what was the reason that you started educating yourself?
So maybe I shared it on a different podcast with you, but maybe you know this, maybe you don't. But I come from an sort of abusive childhood. Not sort of. I come from an abusive childhood that was rough. There was a lot of traumatic experiences, and I was just seeking ways of becoming the best version of myself, sort of, and looking into development. I started therapy when I was 11 years old, and then I started reading more into self-development when I was 18.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, you just went to the bookstore and you picked up a book, or you you listened to a podcast.
Actually, really randomly, one time I was on YouTube and I saw a snippet of Tony Robbins' documentary.
I'm not your guru?
Yeah.
Highly, highly recommend this guru. Actually, we're going to talk about later. Ask me about this documentary, because this documentary, a certain sentence in this documentary changed my life forever. And the moment I watched this documentary, I became unbreakable.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it later. So you watched...
No, I watched a part of the documentary where the... you have to watch it. But there was just this one girl who was sharing her story of just sexual abuse when she was little. And I really resonated with that. I shared this last time, but, you know, I...
Was it the girl from the... What was it called?
This cult.
Something with Christian...
Children of God, I think it's called.
Yeah,
she shared how she was sexually abused and how she was always this positive person on the outside, but she was really struggling on the inside, and nobody would ever know that she was actually really so sad inside, and she was actually, you know, contemplating not living anymore. That's how hard it got. And I watched that video and I was like, wow, you know, I really resonated with that.
Actually, you know what? Roll the clip so that everyone knows what we are talking about.
Yeah. But ever since then, I just thought, wow, you know, if this girl
can do it,
I can do it too. And I was always like her, so positive on the outside, such a like light and support for everyone else, but I was so sad on the inside. And I just thought, no, like, there must be so much more to this life, and I will do whatever it takes to find it. So that was my kind of introduction. And then, of course, like, I read my first book, and then I read this...
You remember the first book?
I read The Secret, actually.
That is so funny, because it was my... Like, the first book, I would say, that I read without someone else has... having to push me. Like at school, you read books, right? Yeah. we actually had to read a lot of books. But then I remember I went through some like personal drama, and my sister told me, you know what, Axel, read this book.
Your sister told
you? Yeah, my sister told me. And she told me, Axel, before you read The Secret, you're going to ask yourself, who the heck is Abraham? You're going to find it weird, and it's okay.
Yeah.
But don't focus on these things. Focus on the things that you can learn from it. And I'm pretty sure that you will read it and you will resonate with certain things.
That's amazing that your sister told you.
I didn't know that. She's the best. I love her.
So good.
And I read the book. I actually listened to the audiobook. And yes, I asked myself, who the heck is Abraham? And I still...
It seems a little like cuckoo at first.
Yeah. If you...
It seems like energy is universe. Like what? People are listening to you.
And they also have these... If you listen to the audiobook, they have like... You know the type of music you play if you write a spiritual book.
I know.
And I'm like, what am I doing? But I promised her to finish this book. And yeah, I finished it. And it was one of the best books I've ever read.
I know.
Don't watch the documentary, though.
No, the book is... Yeah, the book
the
is...
The book is so good.
So much better. I read it in 2 days. Mm-hmm. I was hooked. But I agree. At first, I was like... What are they talking about? You know, like universe and manifestation. And they kept talking about, you know, you can have what you say. You can be, have, and I don't know how you say it.
You can do, be, and become whatever you want.
Yeah, and they keep saying that. And at first I was like, that's not true. Like my past has already defined me. Like I can only be something to a certain extent. But, you know, my traumatic childhood led me to never be able to, you know, A, find love, B, be successful. You know, all these thoughts that I had that make absolutely no sense. But I had these, and then there's this book, and there are people saying that actually you can totally shift that around, and you can actually be whatever you want to be. And I was like, what? It just seemed like science fiction to me at first. But the more I read, and then I became like crazy obsessed with all of this stuff. Like at one point I was... Everything I did, I was listening to podcasts, I was constantly reading, I was watching like documentaries, watching videos. I started watching Bob Proctor on YouTube. Like, I highly recommend him. I love him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Abraham Hicks and all those people. And I was hooked. And my life just completely transformed ever since I really dived deep into all of this.
Was there like a certain moment where you had like... Okay, now I'm in control. You shifted from being a victim to becoming a, let's call it, creator?
Yeah, actually, and it happened recently, which is the funny part. Like I said, my life completely, like, 180 degrees, like, turned around. I went through, like, a pretty bad breakup last year, and then after
who
that...
Who would leave this guy?
No, and after it... I was really in a bad place. Like, I was in a really bad place. And I was like, oh, yeah, just, it was bad. But then I actually, randomly, I was watching YouTube. And then randomly, it was just, like, random things. I started watching the Tony Robbins documentary. And then I was like, no, I can be successful. I can find love. Like, and it just, like, all piled up. And I remember that moment where I was like, no, you know, I'm gonna, because I had nothing to lose. Like, I felt like I hit like rock bottom, and like I was willing to really try this whole universe and manifestation thing out because I had nothing to lose, you know? So I was like, okay, I'll try it for a year and we'll see how it works. And I did my vision board and I put like, actually, you were on my vision board, like, you know, from that was after we came from VegFest, and you and traveling and living in a warm place.
Wait.
And
when you say you actually mean me?
Okay, this is the funny part, guys. Like,
I did not know that. When you said that the first time, I thought like you described the person, but you put but me like... on your vision.
Yeah, but like not in a weird way. No, like, I put a bunch of... I just, like, liked your picture. That was the thing. You were holding a bunch of fruit on the picture, and I wanted to live in a warm place. I was like, wow, that's a nice picture. That's a very handsome guy. Let me put him on my vision board. No intention at all of, like, meeting with... Not any intention of, like, meeting up with you later, but... Okay, that's funny. I didn't know I was going to share that with you today. But, okay, back to my vision board, yeah? So I put a picture of all of the things that I wanted, I guess. You know, stop looking at me like that.
Yeah, keep going.
No, but that's the craziest part about this whole manifestation thing, because... Like, I've always wanted to find someone who's vegan, who has the same, what's the word?
Passions.
Passions, but also values. Has the same values as me, you know, doesn't drink, party, or, like, you know, like, just the same values. And I was always told that that's impossible, like, there's no one who exists like that. So I just sort of put pictures on my vision board of, like, ideas of that, if you know what I mean. Just like, mm-hmm. I put book, like, reading on my vision board, I put living in a warm place, yoga, modeling, work, you. But all of those, it was just like little symbols for me of where I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And that was literally at the end of November, and then in January I was here, and I was, you know, like, I feel like once that was, like, the changing moment for me. And once you really make that shift in yourself and you're like, okay, I want this now. Like, you know, the change is really quick. Like, I feel like people think that change takes, like, 10 years and, you know what I mean? But, like, actually, I feel like it's just, like, quick. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? Well, you're still looking at me. It's so weird. I shouldn't have said that. No, but actually, like, when you think about it, that this in itself should be proof to you that manifestation really works.
No, but I hope more specific you are. No, I always say, like, be as specific as you can be if you visualize something, and you just nailed it, and apparently it worked.
Yeah, actually, I was hoping you'd never find that. Like, I actually had my vision board right in front of my bed. And, like, it was still there now that I, like, in February when I went to Prague. But, like, 2 weeks ago, I called my mom because we were supposed to come to Prague in a month. And I was like, please hide that. Hide it. Take it off of my wall. Hide it. Hide it somewhere far away. He cannot know that I did that. Oh, my God. Now I'm embarrassed, guys.
It's fine. It's definitely fine. I'm surprised, but... That's fine. No, actually, it's really good. And if you felt that way, that's even better. Because the first time we actually met, I high-fived her.
Oh my God, that was the worst. But I didn't even know you at that point. Like, I didn't know you at VegFest. We met at VegFest in London.
Ah, you didn't know me before?
No. Ah, I didn't even know you were a part of Vivo.
Ah, okay. So I was at VegFest, and most of the people who came up to me were like, people who follow me on social media, and all of them would like pictures and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I was about to give a speech, and then Mariana and who was it? Who? My your sister?
Yeah.
Her sister came up to me, and I just thought, you're like, you're following us.
I came up to him because that day we were all gonna have pizza together at mm-hmm. a house, and we all had pizza together, so I was like, wanted to meet him before. I wanted to say, okay, we're going to have pizza together. But guys, he comes to me and he's like, cool, nice to meet you. High five.
I was about to give a speech.
I was like, okay, bye.
Yeah, and also, you never know what the people... No, just kidding. Alrighty, where did this come... Vision board. Alright, you read The Secret. And then...
Yeah, and it all happened. Ever since I saw the documentary on YouTube, it was all just boom, boom, boom. You know, like, mm-hmm. like, it was like I was attracting all of these things. Like, the more I read, the more I attracted. So I watched the documentary. Then I, like, right the next day, I started listening to podcasts. Before, I would never listen to podcasts because I was mm-hmm. like, that's boring. I don't mm-hmm. know. But then I started listening to everywhere I went, everywhere, when I went to school, I was listening to podcasts. During breaks, I was listening to podcasts. Like, I was just, like, soaking up everything that I could, because I knew that, like, I was willing to believe it 100% what they were saying in The Secret. I was willing to believe that I can do, be, become, whatever you said, anything I want. And I was willing to really give it a shot. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it 110%. So I was really just, like, soaking up everything, doing my vision boards, looking at them every night, like, picture, doing everything they said, you know, picturing myself actually having it already. And yeah, 1 month later, here we are. Literally everything from my vision board came true. Like, last week, I got a message from a company that I've always wanted to work for. Them asking,
and it's like a big
it's thing. A big company, and I got a message saying, you know, hi, we love your content, we would love for you to work with us. And that was on my vision board, guys. That was like, now everything came true from my vision board. It's actually quite unbelievable.
So you have to be really careful what you put on your vision board.
Yeah.
It might be true. There's this famous song by, how they called, Pussycat Dolls, and anyways,
what? Tell there me what you like, want, what you really, really
no,
want.
No. The song that I was singing yesterday.
When I grow up.
I want to be famous. I want to be a star. I want to be in movies. And they're saying, be careful what you're wishing for, because you just might get it. Yeah, you just might get it. And that's actually so true.
Yeah.
If I, like, I write down my goals and my visions every 3-4 months. And if I look back, I'm like, holy moly, I should be more optimistic about what I put on these vision boards.
Optimistic?
What do you mean? Optimistic, because, like, if it always comes true, why not asking for more? You know what I mean? Why not trying? And if you try to get to, I don't know, the sun, and you end up at the moon, that's also pretty nice, if you know what I mean.
No, but that's the thing, like, you manifest everything, even the good and the bad, you know what I mean? And you actually, I learned so much from you, like, especially in January, you know, when we first met, and you really showed me that I was actually manifesting even the bad things into my life. Like, I'm pretty clumsy, you know, and I kept repeating to myself, I'm so clumsy, you know, I can never do this because I'm not good at it, or, you know, things like that. And I kept repeating them to myself. And actually, that made me more clumsy in a way. And it made me actually be bad at things that if I wouldn't have said that to myself, I actually wouldn't be bad at, you know. And ever since, you were like, stop saying that, you know, that's not true. Like, I kept, I kept thinking, like, whatever I do, I suck at. And I told that to you, and you're like, stop saying that. You were actually pretty, like, assertive about, like, stop saying that. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll stop saying it. And ever since I stopped saying it,
It became so much
better. I'm not clumsy, like, sometimes, but not so much. Like, guys, I would used to spill everything.
Yeah, but thoughts become things. If you tell yourself the whole time, I'm nervous. Guess what's going to happen? You will be nervous.
That's exactly... can I just share the story with the scooter? The first time I was driving a scooter here in Bali, the first day I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous about this. Like, this can't end up well. Like, I'm so clumsy. Like, I'm so nervous. I kept saying that to myself. Of course, the first day I drive and I fall off my scooter and I have this, like, scratch on my leg. And then you're like, stop saying you're nervous. You have to start saying you're excited. And then it was just like my thoughts shifted, and now I'm an awesome scooter driver, right? But I remember just like driving my scooter, being scared as heck, but just screaming, I'm excited. Yeah, it's just those little things.
Yeah, with certain things, like I can tell myself, I'm Beyonce. Yeah, but I have my limitations. Like, I actually believe that if you are willing to put in the work, I could sing as good as Beyoncé does.
That's very confident.
No, but like, if you spend... I don't know.
No, but yeah, I agree.
No, like, if I spent 70 years training like crazy, maybe. I just don't want to. I mean, obviously, there are, like, physical limitations. I'm not going to become I don't know, the tallest NBA player, because like I will not grow, you know, like there are certain aspects that limit ourselves, but usually we can become and do whatever we want. Like, have you heard of his name is Roger Bennison?
No.
He ran the 4-minute mile in...
That's so quick.
What?
What? What? That seems incredible to me, but yeah, keep going.
Why?
4-minute mile? I run
Okay.
I run that in like 1 hour and I'm happy.
Fun fact, before he did it, no one else did it.
Wow.
He was just like a mediocre athlete. Mm-hmm. He was good, but not the best. Like, he was just a student. And everyone believed you can't run a mile in less than 4 minutes. That is just impossible. And there were even doctors who told them, who shared it in the news. If you do it, you die. Like, your heart can't handle it.
Really?
Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way. He did it. And guess what happened?
What?
In a year, hundreds of people did it. Never ever before in history, someone did it. Like, the opposite. Everyone said, it is not humanly possible. He did it. And because he did it, our beliefs changed. And I'm like, huh, actually, if he can do it, I can do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, actually, what you said about singing before, I remember, do you know Ed Sheeran?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. I saw this interview with him, and he was sharing how he used to sing, like his voice, like his voice recording of like the very first songs he would sing. It sounded awful, and everybody was like, oh my God, that was you? And he was like, yeah, guys, I was terrible at singing, but I had this extreme passion for singing, and he what kept him going is just thinking that like I love this and I know that one day I'll be good at it, and he kept going to the singing lessons, voice lessons, guitar lessons, and now he's amazing. You know, so like, yeah, like you said, you know, if I practice hard enough I could be Beyonce.
I mean, I
believe that too, you know, like if but you have to have the passion in yourself and have to have the drive and actually know that you'll get there and not get impatient in between, because it takes a while. So don't give up in the middle and really dedicate. And yeah, you can become whatever you want.
What else was on your vision board?
You keep talking about the vision board.
I'm going to dream about this vision board.
I can actually show you one day. No, probably not. I'll tell my mom to burn it or something.
I would love to know which picture you chose. Is it on my Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, the people who are listening, you know, who are watching this right now, they're going to see it somewhere here.
I'm not sure which one I chose, but there was a lot of fruit around you. I think it was like your Sri Lanka picture or something. Who was also, I'll also put Eamon and Beck on my vision board, just because I really, after VegFest, I really, they're so sweet, guys. If you don't know Eamon and Beck, go check them out. But they just had such the most beautiful relationship energy I've seen, just because I've never really been surrounded by couples that are that have a nice relationship. That sounds terrible, but I've never had really an example of what a respectful, sort of loving relationship could look like. And then they were there, and I was like, wow, this is beautiful, you know. So I just put them there because they really inspired me. So I remember they were on my vision board. Then a house in the tropics was on my vision board. Here we are. I don't remember. Obviously the job for that big brand. But yeah, did you have a vision board?
I mean, I don't have a board, but I have a journal, and I visualize every single morning on my dreams, and I try to be as exact as possible. So I have these pictures in front of my eye, like I imagine them, but actually putting them on a board is pretty smart, and I will start doing that. That's definitely a beautiful practice.
So if you imagine them, is it like first person or third person, or
it's always me?
It's always
about myself. Like,
so I don't know, like if you envision yourself getting a new car, how would you envision that? I'm just curious.
It's me driving in this car.
You're driving it, literally.
No third person. Like, someone else is seeing me, you know? If you know what, is that third person?
That's third person. Yeah, but how do you, like, how do you vision yourself driving, like, the new Tesla when you still don't have it? Like, how do you get into that energy of feeling like you have it to manifest it while you still don't have it? Or, like, I know a lot of people, you know, are living in, for example, I don't know, a shitty apartment that they really hate, and they're dreaming of this beautiful house or a villa. Like, how do they, you know, how do they visualize it and actually feel like they already have it while they don't?
So, every one of us can visualize. Like, if you close your eyes and you think of a pink elephant, you could actually visualize a pink elephant. You've seen an elephant before and you could imagine, okay, this elephant is pink. And the funny thing with our brain doesn't know, is this reality or not? Like, if we visualize.
Really?
Yeah. Our brain doesn't know the difference. Our brain doesn't know, is it happening right now or not? Simple practice. We're going to do this together. Close your eyes. Neutral face. Okay. How are you?
What?
How are you?
Good.
Okay. Think of someone you're grateful for. Think of the face. Think of hugging this person. Okay. You can stop. What did just happen? You smiled, right?
Yeah.
Why? The person is not in front of you. Why should you smile?
Basically, yeah.
You know what I mean? I know, like, your brain produces these hormones of, like, hey, this is actually happening. And you can go the opposite direction. You could literally freak out and nothing in front of you happens. You know? You just envision, you just visualize how something really, really bad happens to you. And you're like, fuck. Wow. I like to do it the other way, the positive way. So I visualize the good stuff. And the brain thinks, oh, this is actually happening to me right now, or for me, however you want. So when I visualize something, a person, or anything I want to have, I try to be as exact as possible. You don't have to know all the details, but like the main keys. Like, if you would visualize a person that you want to have in your life, what are the, which I actually did, not with your name and like everything, but I would visualize someone who's grateful, someone who would make me smile. I would visualize how I hug this person, how we would drink tea together without, you know, I don't care if blonde or you know what I mean, but like the main things. Or if I would if I visualize a house, I think of, how does this house look like? How does it feel like walking there? And I'm like visualizing myself walking there.
Wow.
And everyone can do that. Everyone can dream. Everyone can close their eyes and just think as if it would already happen. And if you really believe that this can come true,
it will.
To a certain point, yes.
I mean, you said that everyone can visualize. I feel like, you know, some people actually...
If you
actually
have the right beliefs. If you say you can't, you will be right.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Some people have been conditioned not to visualize. For example, if you were a very... I know children who, used, like, when they were children, they were very alive and had a lot of imagination. And, you know, those children who would have, it like, that invisible friend. And society, you know, shut them down, and they were like, stop being crazy, you know, stop imagining things, like, whatever. And then they grew up thinking, like, oh, imagining or visualizing things are bad. So some people actually have that block inside of them. If that's you, actually it was me. I found it hard at the beginning to visualize things. That's why I actually put them on a vision board, because it was easier for me to look at pictures. But what also helped me was journaling. So, maybe this is weird, yeah?
But kind of weird.
But I would have this, like, special journal. I really love the journal. I have it still in Prague. But it's, like, this beautiful journal that I would only write in, like, the things I wanted. But I would write them every night as if they happened. So I would be like, I don't know, dear diary, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Today, I... made breakfast with the love of my life. I don't know. We made, and I would be so specific. I would be like, we made smoothie bowls. They were so delicious because the bananas here are grown locally. And like, I was so specific. Yeah. Like, and I would just like write, and I would use my complete imagination, and I would just like write everything. And I would be like, then we went to the beach, and the beaches are here are so beautiful, but the waves are kind of big. You know, I would just be so, so specific. And that would help me visualize it, because while I was writing it, I was actually like visualizing it, and I would always go to sleep and I was like, ah, oh, I love it. You know, like that made me feel like I was already there. So if you were struggling with visualizing when you close your eyes, then maybe this would work for you. Journaling or actually printing pictures, putting it on a vision board. But yeah, be careful what you wish for, because yeah, because you just like get it. No, like, did they say that in The Secret? I think that you should think that there's a genie. Have you guys seen Aladdin, the Disney movie? So you should think that there's a genie around you at all times. So whatever you speak out, the genie is like, your wish is my command. So basically, if you say, I don't know, I'm clumsy, the genie goes, your wish is my command. And that happens. So whatever you speak out loud or whatever you think even will come true. So you have to be really careful actually what you what you say. That's actually, that really helped me, because like, oh my god, now I used to struggle with negative self-image, and I used to be like, oh my god, my body is not nice, blah blah blah. But then when I read that there's a genie around me, like I started being a lot more careful about what I said to myself. You know,
yeah, a trillion percent. If you tell yourself you're not beautiful, that it always scares me how many people say, I don't think that I'm beautiful, because you can't be long-term at a happy place if you tell yourself every single day that you're not beautiful, because then you will not feel beautiful. And that, like, self-talk is so important, and it doesn't mean that you always have to be, like, 100% perfect, like, who is perfect, but I think the most important statement is, be aware of what you say and what you think.
You know, thoughts become things.
There is this beautiful quote by Jim Rohn. He's actually he was the mentor of Tony Robbins. He died like a couple of years ago, but he always said, "Stay guard at the door of your mind." And I love that, because we all have negative thoughts, but you're the guard who's like, do I really want to believe that? Do I want to let this thought come into my system? Or do I just say, okay, you're an awful thought, I don't want to believe you.
Yeah, I'm definitely still working on that. I mean, I'm not perfect in any sense. Like, I still feel like sometimes my conditioning, or, you know, my thoughts get the best of me. Like, it's not always that I'm like, I'm positive, I love myself, you know, everything's pink and beautiful, you know, but you reminding me that actually, like, grasp that thought and take control of that thought, you know, don't let it control you, like, you're in control.
Yeah,
that's been really helpful for
me. I think no one is, like, even people like Cristiano Ronaldo, probably, they have negative self-talk, like, everyone has to a certain degree. I think it's like a skill you learn. And if I compare myself, for example, to, like, when I was 14, that's, like, such a big difference. Oh, yeah. And if you constantly get better and you become nicer to yourself, it becomes less. If you meditate and you do other things right, the quality of your thoughts become better. If I don't sleep enough and I'm sleep-deprived, the odds are pretty, pretty high that my self-talk is a little bit more negative than it usually is. That's why I'm such a big fan of, like, getting enough sleep, going to the gym. If I don't go to the gym for like 2 weeks, I'm like,
grumpy.
Yeah, I'm more grumpy. That's just the fact. So there are certain things that come into play.
Now we're in a quarantine and we have our home gym. Yeah. So that's fun. We did a workout yesterday together. That was nice.
Yeah, more or less. The most important thing is that you acknowledge that you are in responsibility of your thoughts. And it's a really important how you deal with them,
mm-hmm.
and what you say to yourself. So what...
That's important that you say that, though, because for the longest time, I never thought that I was in control. Uh-huh. Like, I felt like things were already set out for me, mm-hmm. you know, like everyone was telling me about karma and how, you know, you just have, people just told me, you just have really bad karma, like, it sucks for you, but, like, because I had these, like, unfortunate event after unfortunate, after trauma, after, like, ugh, like, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And people just look at me and, like, wow, sucks to be you, like, you just have it all bad from the beginning, and I believe that it wasn't in my power to change those things. I always thought that things were already, you know, predetermined for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that you say that and that people hear that no, actually, you can change your life around 180 degrees and you can have the best life.
Mm-hmm. That's the, I talked about it like 20 minutes ago, the Tony Robbins documentary, when he said, if you blame life for all the bad things, you also have to blame life for all the good things. And for me, it was my father. I thought, like, shit. It hit me like it was a punch in my face. And I started thinking of what is good about all the bad things that happened in my life. I started with my mom when I was 2. I lost her. I'm like, it sounds so dumb if you say it out loud. And you are not the person who actually experienced it. But for me, it's like, okay, let's just play this game. What is good about my mama dying when I was 2? And there were so many things that came up. I wouldn't be so close to my siblings. I wouldn't be the person that I am right now. I wouldn't be so strong. I wouldn't be so resilient. I wouldn't be unbreakable. And I'm like, huh, that actually helps. It's like, that doesn't, that happens for you. Like, mm-hmm. it had a reason why it had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I played the same game with my father. I had, like, after my mom died, he kind of, a part of him died and he became an alcoholic. And it was my whole life, my whole childhood was just insanely terrible. And I would always think, like, why does this happen to me?
Oh, yeah.
Like, one bad thing after the other. We never had money. Then I got bullied. And, like, what? I'm like, whoever is doing this kind of, like, setting things up in life, God or the universe, why the heck? Why are you not...
Why me?
Why me? And why don't you stop? Like, could you...
Yeah.
Like, I had enough.
Yeah.
And then I felt like, okay, so what is good about having an abusive childhood? My drive to help others. Like, I just have, like, it's an instinct to help other people, and it just makes me so freaking happy to help others.
Mm-hmm.
I also wouldn't read so much, or, like, when it got really, really bad, I started with, like, personal development. I would never, ever, like, read books or something. If that I would probably be like a professional football player. I don't know what I would be. But there are so many good things. Also, like, I wouldn't be so strong.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't enjoy life as much as I enjoy right now. And then, like, I could play this game for decades.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is I learned that, A, what I just said, if you blame life or a person or anything for all the bad stuff, you also have to blame
for the good stuff,
right? And B, life doesn't happen to me but for me.
Mm-hmm.
It has a reason, and I don't know if it's true or not, and I don't care, because it's my truth. Like, I can deal so much better with these events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right now, if I think about, like, these events, I'm not feeling bad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's part of my life and I'm grateful for it. And
mm-hmm.
I always say, like, I don't, even if I could go back and change everything, like, maybe my mother would still live, but I wouldn't, like, I started becoming grateful for it.
Mm.
It sounds probably crazy to all the people who never had, like, these kind of experiences, but I know from many people who went through terrible stuff in their lives that this thing actually helps.
It shapes you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. if you see it as a blessing rather than a curse,
yeah,
it suddenly changes your perspective on certain events.
That's true. When did this click for you? Like, when
I watched the documentary. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like 19 or 20.
Were you depressed or sad before? Or were you probably coming from your traumatic childhood?
I never had the time to be really depressed, if that makes sense.
The time?
I was. I never had the time to sit down and like just cry and be like, I'm not gonna do anything and things of that nature. So I wouldn't say I was like chronically depressed. I don't think so. I had like suicidal thoughts. I do remember sitting there and like, why not just ending that? So I kind of, it was super weird. But I was also a teenager, and when I was like 14, I lived the life of someone who's like 24. Or like a family, like just someone who has to take care of everything. I had to be the father at home, and I had to be the father for my father, which was super weird. So that's what I mean when I said I didn't really have time to be depressed, because I was the guy who was like managing everything. Mm. When my siblings left, my older siblings, I was the oldest, and I had to kind of like be optimistic and like be strong and things of that nature.
Like the girl in the documentary, you know, what I shared at the beginning, like you're the sun, you're the light for everyone else, and you're the supporter of everyone else, but actually inside, like people would never think that you're actually the one who's sad on the inside. Was that for you as well? Like, I would be the one who's caring for everyone, supporting everyone, being like, guys, we got this. Like, everything's fine. But inside, I would think of ending my life.
Yes, similarly, definitely. But yeah, at some point, it was like a process, you know? When I became older and taller and stronger, like physically actually stronger, I also started to become mentally stronger, and I started reading books. I'm like, okay, actually, like I can, like he can ruin his life, but I don't have to do the same. And I'm on the way of getting out of here. And I had this goal of like becoming as fast independent as possible, and I managed that. And then it was just like a process of getting better as more I read about psychology and mental health. Just my life became better and better and better and better. And yeah, then literally that's the moment where my life like completely changed, where I'm like, I'm in control and I have to blame life also for the good things. And I know some people, it doesn't help for some people if you compare yourself to others. For me, it helps a lot. When I went to India and I saw children not having enough food, my mind went, Axel, shut the front door. You will not complain again about your hard life, because you had enough food. You had a grandma who cooked you the best food.
Who loved you.
Who loved me. And I never had, like, there was no war in my life, you know? Like, all these things changed, and I started to become grateful, and I started to practice actually gratitude after I went to India. And these were kind of the events in my life that made me unbreakable.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're so inspiring to me. Like, you inspire me in so many ways of pushing myself to do the work, you know? And to so many others. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and I like that you call it work, because it actually is work. And I love to work, and if you say I love to work as well, and for everyone who's listening or watching who has like similar experiences, and so many people actually have, like every single time I talk about these topics I get tons of messages of people who like, I've never talked about it. like child abuse is such a big thing. If you just check the statistics, you're like, what is actually going on this world?
Mm-hmm.
Or depression rates, everything goes up instead of down. Yeah. And that's why we are sitting here and having a podcast. The thing is just we have to talk about it, and we have to educate ourselves about these kind of topics. And that's hopefully what we do in the next episodes. I think that was the perfect
introduction to our podcast.
I hope you learned certain things, and maybe as a challenge for you, write down all the good things in your life.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to, you can also blame life for the bad things, but try to shift your perspective. What is good about these bad things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
also find, maybe close your eyes and think what the best way for you to visualize is. Like mm-hmm. we mentioned before, are you a sort of visualizer when you close your eyes, or are you more of a vision board or journal person? Mm-hmm. Also something to think about. Just get Beautiful. To know yourself more.
Thank you so much for listening, watching. Thank you for being here.
Thanks
for sharing your weird story with you.
Oh no, guys. I wish I didn't say that.
The next thing I'm going to do is going to send your mother a message. Send me a picture. No. I want to know which picture it is.
Oh my gosh, guys. This is embarrassing. But
no
worries. I hope you laughed about this. I hope it made you laugh, because I'm embarrassed now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. No, you're not embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You're laughed.
Thank you so much. And... anything else?
Until next time, my friends.
Bye-bye.